Absence makes the heart grow fonder. But I just want to give a little brief introduction. So I am a regular, normal diocesan priest. I'll go into a little more in depth of all the different experiences that I've had during the mission. But presently, I'm a pastor of 5 churches, 4 parishes. So I take a lot of medication and rock back and forth and say I'm a good person. There's an associate, 2 associates with me, and it's just delightful. But really, if we have 5 parishes, if we have 12 parishes, what the most important thing and the thing that I am so passionate about is that our church come alive in the grace of the Holy Spirit, in who she is, in her identity as the Catholic Church, come alive with the power of the Lord and a new evangelization that St. John Paul II said all those many years ago, that we are the sleeping giant and the Lord really wants to wake us up. And I'm so pleased that there are so many people seeking baptism and going to be received in the church. That's a sign of life. That's a sign of growth. That is great. Congratulations. That's wonderful. It's a great sign. Not a lot of parishes will have people being received into the church at the Easter Vigil. And so don't lose this idea that there's something special going on here. There really is. And we need to be attentive to that. So at the parish mission for the next few days, please God that we don't have a ban on gathering together. So I'm not going to read any emails or any text messages at all. I'll just ignore all social media for the next little while. But the theme of it, and I think it's absolutely fascinating. So the team, and congratulations to the team and the pastoral team that have been working very hard to prepare for this. They came up with a theme before any of this stuff presently has unfolded. And what do you call it? Hope and healing. How prophetic. Really, hope and healing. That's really, when you look at all the craziness that's going on right now, and the empty shelves with no toilet paper. Toilet paper will not bring you hope or healing. I'm just saying. It will not. I don't know. I think people have lost their minds, personally. I really do. You know, but that's okay, because it's an opportunity to dig down and say, okay, what's important here? People, what's important? And we need hope, and we need healing. And as Pope Benedict has said, as humanity loses sight of God, and as it is lost over the horizon of humanity, that more and more confusion, more and more anxiety, more and more identity dysphoria will happen in society, because really, our identity is from God. That's our true identity. That's where we find what our nature is, who we are as people. And so in this parish mission, we'll be looking tonight at encountering Jesus, asking that fundamental question, who do you say that I am? The second night, we're going to be praying for healing. And as we follow Jesus, the major part of Jesus' ministry to the world is healing. Deliverance and healing. Healing the soul so that we may be one with the Father through the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what God intends for us. So not only do we encounter Jesus and know about him, but we follow him and we do as he has done. He has commanded that. But in order to do that, on the third evening, we'll have the proclamation of Jesus in the joy of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who is the principal agent of evangelization. We can do nothing. The church is absolutely, completely ineffective without operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is true and has been the teachings from the beginning, right from the birthday of the church. What's the birthday of the church?
Pentecost.
Pentecost. That's the birthday of the church. And the church is launched into the world with the mission of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. So all of it is connected. The encounter with Christ, following Christ, and empowered with the Holy Spirit for the proclamation of Christ. And so this is the process that we're going to go through for the next few evenings. Please God. So the reality is, in our diocese, in the Hamilton Diocese, in the London Diocese, in the Archdiocese of Toronto, wherever you are, in North America and also in Europe and across the world, except for developing countries, church attendance and the faith is on the decline. It is. Like, we need to pull our heads out of the sand and say, this is the reality. There's a lot of reasons why. I won't go into it now, but I would say that in my own diocese, of the 450,000 people that identify themselves as Catholic, only 11 to 12% regularly or occasionally come to church, come to receive Jesus in the Eucharist. This miracle of manna from heaven happening every time we celebrate Holy Mass, that Jesus comes to us, the bread of life, the thing that he said in the middle of John's Gospel, I am the manna that has come from heaven. I am the bread of life. Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my flesh will have life within them. Anyone who does not eat my flesh or drink my blood will not have life within them. This is the truth of the reality of the Eucharist. This is the source and summit of the Catholic faith. This is the source and summit of being a Christian, a follower of Jesus, that he said this, he commanded. At the Last Supper, he said, this is my body, this is my blood. That's what he said. Is Jesus a liar? No. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And so how have we lost this sense of the centrality of Jesus in the center of our lives, the center of our community, the center of our culture? Well, I could go on and on and on and on and on about that. In fact, I do belong to an addiction group called On and On Anonymous. It's people who talk too much. So I just want to ask you the question. Who here wants Holy Family to be full, alive, active, and buzzing with signs and wonders? Good. Who here want people being received in the church at the Easter Vigil even more than what there are now? Who here want people being reconciled with the church and one another? Young people excited, on fire with the love of God? More celebrations of the sacrament of baptism, marriage, and holy orders? Yep. People being healed of all kinds of sicknesses? Yep. Hope restored? Yep. Life restored? Yep. Okay, everybody loving Jesus in the whole neighbor? Yeah. Amen, amen, amen. Wow, that's pretty good for Catholics. Now, who here thinks that Jesus wants that more than you do? Absolutely. It is Jesus' church, not our church, not my church. It's Jesus' church, and this is why we come. We don't come to worship the community. We come to worship Jesus. It's him that we worship. It's him that we bow down. In the gospel today, Jesus says, you will neither worship on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. We know Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Amen. Amen. Preach it, Father. We love Jesus. I love Jesus. That's why I'm a priest. That's why I'm a Christian. That's why I'm a follower. When this woman encountered Jesus, her life was radically changed. But she entered into a relationship with him. And if you notice John's humor, St. John's humor, it goes back and forth. Oh, so you're a man, obviously, because you didn't bring a bucket. Like, that's funny. I don't know about you, but that's funny. It's like the family vacation. You know, the guy's out in the car, ready to go, and he's going, oh, where is she? And she's going, he forgot this, he forgot that, he forgot this, he forgot that. Welcome to reality. But, you know, but the thing is that they engaged into a relationship, and then he had a word of knowledge that was very gentle but very confronting. And her life was changed because she saw something in him that she saw, not condemnation but mercy, and saying, I'm not going to allow you to remain in your sins, but I'm going to give you freedom. And that's what Jesus offered to her, is freedom. And that's what Jesus is offering all of us, is freedom. Freedom to know him, to love him, to serve him in this life, and to be happy with him in the next. That kind of freedom is great for the soul. Without any shame anymore, no burden of shame, she runs back to the community and witnesses. In this small little community that everybody knows her in, not unlike, oh, I don't know, Hanover. And she was not bound by shame anymore or judgment. She was free in Jesus. What a freedom that is. Wow. So there is a possibility of great signs and wonders. In the second reading, St. Paul says to the Romans, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. I would like to share a story with you. And it's a true story. And a story that didn't happen here. When I was a priest in another community, there was an urgent situation that happened. It's a little girl that had a pre-existing heart condition. And the church was located right beside the school, blessed be God who lives and reigns. And the child had fallen from this heart condition and was in the yard. They sent the students back into the church, into the school because of this incident. And as I was brought out into the yard, there she was lying on the ground with the teachers compressing her heart, compressing her chest, and breathing, and giving her mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. This was an urgent situation, and it was very scary. And in scary situations, I came over and I was there, and there were teachers around, and eventually her mom was there standing by, calling out her name. And I can't forget the sound of that, just crying out, calling out her name. And as the teachers were working on it, I don't know but about you, but my relationship with God is a little different, little odd, so am I. But I was just standing there dumbfounded. And I was sort of saying, like, what should I do? And it felt like the Lord was saying to me, you're a priest, dummy, pray. You know, okay. So I knelt down and I held on to this little girl's legs. And I don't know if you've been with someone who is dying. Their body, they get gray. And their lips go blue and they just, you know, you can see the life draining from them. So finally the EMS came up into the yard and they came out, they got the paddles out. Don't ever hold on to anybody's legs if they have the paddles, okay? Just highly recommend not holding. So I let go, they shocked her body, her little body responded, and she was in maybe a grade 3, grade 2, I think, at the time. And no response, no breathing. And then I grabbed a hold of her legs, and at that point I was praying in the spirit feverishly and not knowing what words to say. So I'm praying in the spirit, and particularly there was that phrase, Talitha Kum, the words that Jesus spoke over that girl that died, the Jairus' daughter. Talitha Kum, little girl, rise. Little girl, get up. And so I was praying that and praying the Spirit and praying in tongues. And as I'm praying, then they gave her a shock again. I let go, gave the shock. And then I grabbed a hold of her legs again. No response at that point after the second time. And as I'm praying, I just kept on praying and saying, I'll finish the story at the mission. Oh, so mean. I really am looking forward to this mission with you. And at this point, now that I have you on the cliffhanger, I would like to invite those who are going through the scrutinies to please come forward.